And so this morning, I want us to look to the word of the Lord. And as our team, Youth on a Mission, I'm going to use as a sub-team, Let Go and Let God. I want you to point to somebody and tell them this morning, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Those online, just type that for me now, man. Let go and let God. From 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 21. The story has been told of a boat. And I want to really and truly set the foundation using this story this morning. For there was once a foolish little boat that did not dare to give itself to the river. The river persistently called the boat and promised to take good care of it. But the boat would not venture out from the shore. At last, the boat dared to move halfway out from the shore. But hey, said the river, I can't carry you that way. You must give yourself up to me entirely. Over time, the boat became bolder and bolder and decided to venture out and to trust itself to the river. But guess what the boat did? The boat insisted of having a rope which held it tightly fast to a tree on the riverbank. Of course, that was no better than before. The boat turned and swung towards the riverbank. The river consistently and persuasively gently urged the boat yet again and promised safety. At last, the boat ventured to let go of the rope. But at the same time, to make himself perfectly safe, the boat let down a great anchor to the bottom of the river. What a boat this morning. But you and I can figure out exactly what will happen. Though the boat seemed to be giving itself up entirely to the current, and though it swayed back and forth in the river current, it simply did not move from where it was. After days of pleading, the boat ventured to let go of the anchor and trust itself entirely to the river. It was carried safely on past hundreds of beautiful scenes till at last it came to the great ocean that it was longing to see. Quite a powerful story that reflects many of us right now, many of us right here in the sanctuary, many of us listening online. But today on this Youth Sunday, if you are a youth on a mission for God, there must be a letting go You must let go and let God. And so I'm here to declare to somebody in the house that in order for you to be carried in the stream of destiny, you must let go and let God. Somebody shout, let go. Let God. Whatever rope that you might be tying yourself on, things that are holding us to the river shore, when God has called you into the ocean, we need to take out our Holy Ghost scissors. And DJ Nicholas said, cut it off. Anything where I try to distract you from God, cut it off. For God wants to dispatch us into the stream of purpose. God wants to dispatch us into the stream of destiny. But some of us, we still have our anchors of sin and other anchors, other weights and other things that may be besetting us, are like holding us captive. We need to take it off. We need to cut it off. Hallelujah. For we must let go. And we must let God. Any life that God will use greatly, any life that God will use greatly, is a life that would have let go and let God. I have a big question for us this morning. Big question for us this morning, church. Do you know that it is easier to say, Lord, I surrender, but not truly live it out? Sometimes we sing songs like, I give myself away. Lord, I surrender, withholding nothing. And it sounds better than that because me not a singer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But most times, do you know that we are just singing, but it is not coming from the heart? It is, in other words, let me just say it as plain as straight and as day. Sometimes we sing lie in a church. Sometimes we tell lie. We lift up our hands, we say we're holding nothing. But under we are, we have something to hold back. We say we're holding nothing. But over, something is holding us back. Somebody is more God over our lives. Some idols that God is saying to let go. We are saying I surrender, but yet we are not surrendered. God is saying to us that we must truly let go and let God. I want for us to understand that we must not just sing and harmonize good lyrics, but the melody and the harmony of these lyrics must be seen in our lifestyle. When God see you, your life must sing a song of surrender. You don't have to open your mouth. Just the life is saying unto God that you surrender. God is looking for a man. God is looking for a woman who will live a life of total surrender unto God. Somebody praise God with me. Brothers and sisters, when we let go and let God, it means that it is no longer about you. Mm-mm-mm-mm. It's no longer about you. It means that you are not your own. It means that no longer you are holding on to the steering wheel of your own life. It means that God is in the lead. A song said by Lucre that I can play the background. Hallelujah. He is in the lead. A total surrendered life when we let go and let God. It's no longer about you. It's about God and what God expects of us. Flesh must die and his spirit must be seen. Too much flesh still alive. We have to ask God to crucify the flesh and its desires, that we shall stand and live a life that represents God. In the text before us, 1 Kings chapter 19, the Bible allows us to see Elisha and his response to God's call. Elisha was at a prime youthful age, and Elisha was full of ambition. The Bible allows us to know that he lived with his mother and father, and he was engaged in his own trade. From the text, I want to show you this morning from this text what letting go and letting God does. Mightn't be easy. So buckle your seatbelt and let's journey in the text this morning to see what letting go and letting God does. When we let go and let God, it disrupts your agenda. It disrupts your agenda. In the text, in verse 19, it clearly demonstrated to us the context that Elijah, the prophet, met Elisha. The text says, as we see on the screen, in verse 19, and he departed from there, follow with me in your text, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and he who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him, threw his mantle on him. In order for us to understand this, we have to kind of go back a little to verse 15 and 16. I'm going to summarize it for you this morning. For in verse 15 and 16, God instructed Elijah to anoint several key persons, respectively. There were Hazael to be king over Syria, Jehu to be king over Israel, and Elisha to be Elijah's prophetic successor. The Bible declares that Elijah, the prophet of God, departed in pursuit of finding these men that God instructed the prophet to anoint. The text allows us to see that Elisha was found by the prophet Elijah. And I want for us to understand that Elisha was not found in the school of the prophet at that point when God called him. But the Bible allows us to see, the text allows us to see, that he was found in the field. Not reading a book. Not, probably not even praying. Maybe, and not even sacrificing. But he was plowing. He was working. This shows that Elijah was heavily engaged in his personal agenda. He was heavily engaged in his own business. Jamaicans say own a business. But the abrupt call of God upon his life disrupted his agenda. I want for you to know this morning that when God calls you as a youth on a mission, when God calls you without apology, God sometimes disrupts our agenda. Sometimes God will disrupt our own agenda. I want for us to understand that youths on a mission are youths that are open to God's divine disruption. Hallelujah. Youths on a mission and youths that are open to God's divine interruption to our agenda. Youths on a mission for Christ. Hallelujah. Well, are youths that surrender their plans to God and follow God daily. For God to use us greatly, we must relinquish our own agenda. Now the Bible declares that Elijah, after meeting Elisha in his agenda, he cast the mantle upon him. The mantle symbolizes prophetic authority and power. And so the casting of the mantle upon Elisha demonstrated that Elisha was prophetically chosen and empowered for the task. Then the Bible declares in the latter part of verse 19, and he left the oxen. Elisha left the oxen. Brothers and sisters, this is what letting go and letting God looks like. The mantle of God, the same mantle of God, hear this, the same mantle of God that gives us power and empowers us for the task, the mantle has a way of dismantling some stuff. Lord Jesus, I wonder if anybody get that this morning. For the mantle of God has a way of dismantling stuff in our lives. Because in order for God to empower us, we have to strip. We cannot get anointing if we don't strip. You can't get power if you are not pure. For the mantle of God will be released, but it will dismantle some stuff. I have news for somebody. For God can pour new wine in old wineskin. God can pour new wine in old wineskin. For when we are craving God for fresh anointing, for the same anointing will strip us, will clean us, will dismantle some things that might be so dear to us. But the mantle must do its job. I feel God right there. Hallelujah. You must be willing, Jesus, to leave some things. You must be willing to let go of some things. For where God is taking you, not everybody can go with you. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. You have to shift up some things. Your agenda. God, disrupt your agenda. Disrupt your plan. Disrupt. That's what God sometimes do. And it is for our own good. Because God have a bigger agenda. God have a bigger plan. I prefer God, Lord of mercy, hallelujah, to interrupt my agenda and give me his agenda. Because his plans for us, his plans to prosper us, there are plans to give us a bright future. There are plans to give us hope. There are plans to give us prosperity. I prefer God to disrupt my plan and give me his plan. His plans are bigger than my plan. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. He sees more than we can see. He sees behind the horizon. He sees more. My agenda. is insufficient. There is a big plan for you. Hallelujah. I prophesied to somebody under the sound of my voice. There is a big plan for your life. Only if you will let go and let God. Only if you will let go and let God. The story has been told of a father. He had a large teddy behind his back. And he was telling the little girl, give me that one. And she held on to the small version of what God had behind him. But it is dear to my heart. And she said, God is saying, give it to me. And God had something bigger. Oh God. Whenever God tells you to leave something, you must understand, God has something bigger for you. God has something better for you. Bigger and better, not this you say. Bigger and better. Hallelujah. Jesus. God has something bigger and better for you, man. Yes, it's your agenda. Mash up. I'm a testimony. I had so much things that I wanted to become. I couldn't make up my mind. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to be a crime detector. I wanted to be a weatherman. Lord Jesus. So much things. I went and I did geography at K. Computer science. Hallelujah. And it was when I was waiting to see what will work out for me. I said, let me just occupy myself and draw a little course. Let me just study a little Bible, you know, while I just keep the mind active, just for my own personal benefit. And while I was doing that, I just felt a sudden deep desire and fulfillment and craving and burden for the word and for preaching and teaching the word. God disrupt my agenda. And there was a compelling call for ministry. When people say, but why are we going to do with your life? You're going to study theology. You could go and be something else than this. But I had to know God's agenda. You have to know what God wants for you, you know. People might want that kind of thing for you. Everybody have an advice to give you. But you have to know God for yourself. Hallelujah. And now my prayer is that God, now that I have answered the call for ministry, that I will be a weatherman in the spirit. Hey, I'll be able to forecast weather. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not just natural geographical weather, but spiritual weather. I'll be able to sound the alarm and sound the trumpet when there is dangerous storms approaching. I will be a doctor in the spirit. Hallelujah. For his words are like medicine that will heal the disease of mankind. Not just physical disease, spiritual disease. I will administer, hallelujah, God's word. Perform spiritual surgery on God's people. I will be a forensic scientist that zoom in with the spirit of discernment. Zoom in on things that people can't see with their naked eyes. CSI Miami can't touch me in the realm of the spirit. For we have the spirit of discernment that will enable us to tap into the minute things. For God, hallelujah, reveals his secret to his prophet. There is an anointing of forensic. Prophetic forensic. Don't touch me. Hey. Hallelujah. government, so-called the church, nations should look to the church for answers to things that are going on. You see, when you answer the call of God, when you are a young person with an anointing, God will give you a diplomatic anointing, diplomatic immunity. You are a kingdom ambassador. You're not just a little boy from Majestic Gardens. You are God's called and chosen servant. Come on, give God some praise. All God wants is a yes. All God wants is a yes. Little boy like me from a village called Welcome, that in St. Vincent people say, "Are we welcome there?" Nobody know welcome. My grandmother used to have to force me to put on slippers, because me never like slippers up until today. It's barefoot. I roam the streets. So those of you who saw me on the car wash yesterday, realize shoes did gone. And I felt your concern, but I just felt a little at home again. That's the life. Grandmother sent me for buy bread and me gone down the road. Little and seemingly insignificant. Couldn't, you see me? It's only anointing that make me stand up in front of podium and preaching. Has anointing gone so me can't stand up in front of everybody just like this. I shake. Tremble. Nervous. Make God anointing just shh. Drop down up here. Hallelujah. It's only anointing that I can stand up and preach and teach and do deliverance in my own flesh. Oh Jesus, me frightened. Me look upon some strongholds. My God, inside of you I tremble, but because of the anointing. That's why sometimes all I want is the worship to set right. I'm gonna have a topic. Let me go. I just want this flow that God's spirit can flow right. Once we have the atmosphere, hallelujah. Once we have worship, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God empowers us. We can speak to strongholds. We can speak to mountains. We can speak to situation. Preaching becomes easy. Hallelujah. Worship becomes easy. For it is God that empowers his people. Not your insufficiency. Not your inadequacy. Yes, I am aware that people have all kind of excuse. People feel weak. People feel inadequate. It's God's anointing that will empower you. It's God's mantle. You will stand up before prime minister, before kings, because of the anointing, and God will give you what exactly to say. It's the anointing. It's not anything else. Sometimes we look in and we see the people in it very capable. Sometimes we say, God, they couldn't choose somebody as this man in for preach. Sometimes we say, God, why me? I don't feel like I have all the I's dot and all the T's. Sometimes I will go back upon little grammar things for remind myself of how to have subject verb agreement. Me not have everything all together. Me have to go back through my Bible the same. Me have to sit down and learn from leaders. Thank God for Pastor
that teaches by his model and by his own mentorship and advice. We don't have everything all together. It may just appear like that. We are under construction. We are a work in progress. God is still working on me. God is still using me. So I used to be at the point where I look down on myself when I listen to some other preachers and say, I wish I could preach like that. I wish I could drum like that, sing like that, play keys like that, usher like that, administrate like that, do this like that. But God say, walk in your own shoes. God say, walk in your own shoes. Hallelujah. 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 David couldn't put on Saul's armor. This man I put on, me say the jacket just feel like it just big pan me so. Hallelujah. David couldn't put on Saul's armor. He had to use what God, hallelujah, provided. He had two stone. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. But he was empowered by God under the unction of the Holy Spirit. I may not have all the armory like people expect me to have, but I know God. I know God. I know theology. I know how to fast. I know how to pray. I know how to call down heaven. I may have two stones. Jesus. 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 But Goliath can't come down. Because I am anointed. You must understand that you are anointed. I am. Nobody have to come tell me I'm anointed. I know. I am anointed. And I am appointed. I just leave the text a little, but sometimes we have to just flow with what the Lord says. That's how I know how to preach. Hallelujah. All God wants is a yes. God can use messy people to do extraordinary things. God can use your mess. Hallelujah. As a message. God can use your test. Hallelujah. As a testimony. God can use you. No matter who you are. Yes, you. God can use you. I have proof for you. I have proof for you. Noah got drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses couldn't speak so well. Moses felt unworthy. Gideon was from a poor family. Samson had woman issues. In our times, he would have been known as the Gallus Pro. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah felt like he was too young. David was an adulterer. Not to mention a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. All the disciples them fall asleep when Jesus needed somebody to pray for him. Paul was a murderer. And oh, if you think it can't get worse than that, Lazarus was dead. Hallelujah. God is looking for some Moses. God is looking for some people who feel that they're not eloquent in speech, that they are not worthy. God is looking for some Jeremiah, some people who feel that they are too young. God is looking for some Samson, some people who have woman issues, who have weaknesses. Hallelujah. God is looking for some Jonas, some people who keep on running when God is calling them. God is looking for some Elijahs, some people who struggle depression. God is looking for some Joseph. I feel God, some people who were abused, people who feel neglected, people who are sold out by your own family member them. People who, yeah, some people them bad minded. Forgive me for saying it, but a true pastor. And sometimes them do some things. Hallelujah. But we must not take the victim's posture. Hallelujah. No matter what people did to us, that is not an excuse, for you are a victor. God can lift you up out of your state of abuse. God can take you up out of your miry clay and set your feet upon the solid rock. No matter if you are marginalized, victimized, ostracized, criticized, despised, struck down, God can use you. Come on, give God some praise. God is looking for somebody this morning. God is looking for people in Majestic Gardens, people on Henderson Road. Hallelujah. God is looking for someone in Red Hills, Cherry Gardens, Beverly Hills, Smokyville. God is looking for some East Side boys. God is looking for the one down at Maxfield who's gonna go. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who you are. No matter if you are, you feel like you're underclass, look down upon, God can use you. God can take you up. God can fix you up. Hallelujah. God can give you wisdom beyond your age. God can give you a posture of influence and set you up. Look at the little boy for mother. God bless my grandmother for raising me from 2 years old. That is why I love seniors so much. Through the corona, I can't hug up. But as the corona done, you see, I'm going to show them a hug up campaign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Little boy for mother. That's what I'm calling. Mother boy. Mother shelter me. Mother don't want me for go nowhere. Some of you need to send out your children them, man. It's not easy when you can't go everywhere. So no, man. Give them a little blind man. Loose up a little. Mother don't want me go nowhere, pastor. Nowhere at all. Boat ride. Concert. No. Sit down in a big room. Go read a book. You have some dish down there. Wash, wash. The devil find work for idle hands. It's pushing up your mouth. Come here. Broomstick, pot, spoon. Mighty God. Hallelujah. And me was a stubborn one. me now run for Lexington. I say, all right, me just stand up right there. So come and hit me. Stop and leave my pastor. I shall be. You're not cry. Me believe me now if you cry. Because me want to show them that me not have to cry. And when she done now, I say, you done? I saw me just stay now. That's why I'm using the pompous and the against the kingdom of darkness now. Because it's somehow in my nature. God can use me. And God can use you. Take me up out of nothing. Father, forsake me. Sometimes I say, I wish I had a father figure. And people don't really preach about it, but me go preach about it. Because some fathers love abandon them children too much. And if you are a father in here, so, and you neglect your picnic, and you abandon them, after this message, find them. Those online, listen to the Vinci, but me say, find them. There is a void in you when a father is absent. You're looking for a model, and thank God I got saved at 8. So I was looking in the right place in church. But there are some people who are looking on the streets. It's gone. Gang, where other one be? Jason. Youngster. And girls. 4G network. And if you're not saved, and if you're not grounded, our boys will go astray. Fathers play a role in the formation psychologically and emotionally. But in the midst of the absence of a father, I didn't go around and want a pity party and believe that I'm less advantaged. I shake up myself. I get my mind space in the right position, and I believe that God called me for a mission. And even though I may be at a disadvantaged position now, I am working towards becoming a better man with all the resources. Thank God for men of God in the church who would have adopted me, my senior pastor back home, and who saw a purpose and spoke into me. That's why now when I'm praying for my teenagers, I say, God, all of them, because me can't listen. That's why so much of them pops, because very important to have a father figure. I don't know why I'm touching this subject, but I just feel like I should touch it. Very important. And if you are a single mother, Lord Jesus, what are you making me do this morning? If you are a single mother and you're raising a boy, show your boys strong and dignified men of integrity in the church, and point to them and say, see Pastor Samuels, you see Counselor Steve, you see, show them who real men are. Or they will be mentored by cartel and uptown bars, and they will be mentored by Movado, and they think because them in the house, them not have it on their phone. Yeah, man. And they start behave like a little cartel, little Movado, little Alkaline, uptown bass, elephant boy, and they start sing Gallis Pro them fino. And we make them fly like. Yeah, man, we gonna make you fly like without visa, because it will fly you straight to hell. You don't need a visa to go there. A church within a church, we preach. Youth on a mission for God.
we have to show them what integrity and dignity look like, or we will lose our boys. We will lose our generation of young man and woman who God is raising up. The teenagers, them have such an anointing upon their lives from this church. The young adults have such potential. I brought every day our young people on this Youth Sunday. Youth on a mission for God. We want to believe God that we must let go. And let God. Let go. And let God. And God is going to do wonders. It may disrupt your agenda. It may disrupt your allegiance, company, the people that you are associated with. It may even disrupt your assets. But it is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. Can we stand all over this place?